Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by TornbySports.com. and blogtalkradio.com. I'm your host, Alan Zog the Jedi. And hello, John, how are you?
I'm good. I am good. A little sick, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's not good. So yeah. I started the show with a little motif of Princess Leia from A New Hope, so we got a chance to listen to that as it carried in. So we'll get to talking about that a little bit later because... yeah, we want to give due where due is, you know, due is meant. But let's go ahead and start with the jazz off the top. We might as well. We haven't talked in a couple of weeks. Since we last talked, the Jazz went into a three-game skid, dropping three in a row, two against playoff, like top-tier playoff teams, and the other one against, well, Sacramento. And then since have won against the Lakers. So let's go back to that skid first.
Yeah, it was another case of a lot of injuries, but I was at the Sacramento game, and the whole time, I didn't think the Jazz would lose. I mean, they let them back in the game, but I didn't believe they'd actually lose, and so it was surprising when Hayward went in for his game-winning shot, pulled up a five-footer and missed, and that was it, and I was just stunned. It's like, how could they lose this game? They're up by 20 in the third quarter. But they're having a problem with these close games at the end, especially when so many players are injured or sick or not 100%.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And that game, like I said, that game might be the one I look back on and go, shoulda, coulda, woulda. We really should have had it. Toronto game, the loss doesn't bother me there. The Jazz played it right pretty tough. Kyle Lowry was amazing. But the Jazz played it tough. And then at Golden State, what do you expect? You're at Golden State. That Sacramento game, though, that bites. That hurts. And you can go back on injuries. You can go back on all of that. I still look at it as you had a 20-point lead and you lost it. And that one hurts a little bit more probably than it should have.
Yeah. There at the end, Ty Lawson was able to just speed into the lane and he got a few layups in a row, it felt like, and they didn't have an answer for him. And let's see, did he close the game? Yeah, he played more minutes than Collison. He was plus 13 in that game, and he was the little engine that could. So you figured Sacramento, they don't have Rudy Gay. Jazz should be able to win this no matter how many players are missing. And, you know, Favors is still in limited minutes. Hood didn't play. Exum didn't play. Hill didn't play. Burks didn't play. So they just needed the guys they did have to step up. And it was a rare night for Joe Ingles to only shoot 28% from three. A bunch of stuff just didn't come together for them. And really the Jazz bench got killed by the Kings bench. When Neto and Johnson and Lyles came in, Sacramento just went on this quick run and put the game back within shooting distance when they had been dominating them.
Yeah, and it was the second night of a back-to-back for both teams. But, I mean, yeah, like you mentioned, Jazz have been decimated by injuries. The beauty of it all, though, is they're becoming healthy. And, hey, if there's a cure for the slump in the NBA, it's getting three of the worst teams in the NBA. And Jazz just happened to have that this week. I mean, granted, they went down the wire with the Lakers probably more than they should have. But... you know, took a Joe Ingles 3-point shot to win the game. But, you know, you're on the road at LA, you get a win, you've now swept the season series, and now you get Philadelphia on Thursday, and then you get Phoenix at home on Saturday. Again, what is better for the common cure for the slump in the NBA than to get three of the worst teams in the NBA to kind of bolster your schedule heading into the new year?
They should... beat Philadelphia, beat Phoenix, beat Brooklyn, and then second night of a back-to-back, they'll be in Boston. That will be a tough game.
Yeah, it will.
I mean, they probably will drop it. I really hope they don't. If they have George Hill, and Hood's feeling better and Favors is feeling better, then it'll still be competitive. I mean, I think they have the same record right now. Maybe the Celtics have played one more game, but they were both 19 and 13 yesterday. So,
however, the Celtics are playing the East versus the Jazz in the West. There's a big difference there.
Yeah. But they're a healthy team now. And
right.
So that'll be tough.
And if I'm reading things right, so first of all, let's go across the injury bug for a minute for the Jazz. Derek Favors is back. Derek Favors looks to be back in Derek Favors shape too, and I like that. He's there, and there's no more minute restrictions, which is nice. Rodney Hood, I think, is going to take another game or so get back into it, but was back last night. And now we're hearing that George Hill could be back as early as Philly game on Thursday. That's what I saw from Tony Jones earlier today. Not by the Philly game, I could see them back by Saturday against the Suns. So we're nearly there. And then Alec Burks is right around the corner. He's already limited practicing, but we could see him back right after the first of the year as well.
Yeah. And here's a note. That Laker game was the first time that Favors played at least 20 minutes in a game since November 14th.
Wow.
So if he's truly back, then they could really use him. But, he's six games he's played, five of those he had minutes restrictions, and then he didn't dress for Golden State. I hope he's back. I didn't think he was in full Favors mode yet. I mean,
right.
He only had like 8 points and six rebounds. It was decent, but he didn't close
right.
the game because that's just the way the game was flowing.
Yeah, it was. And, the other nice thing, too, if I'm reading, again, Tony Jones is the one I saw this from. If Tony Jones is right on spot, which is, it sounds like the folks he's talking to are saying this, George Hill will not be on a minute restriction when he returns either. So we could see, as early as the Philadelphia game, the starting lineup that hasn't played together more than 12 minutes this season play on Thursday night and then again on Saturday. We're there. It's time. And there's a lot of reason to be excited. And, again, you're going against the worst in the NBA right now. What better warm-up stage to get you ready for a brutal January than to get your team back at full strength and play some lower-tier teams for a while to get yourself back in chemistry and back in mode again?
Yeah, and even the Sacramento game, Sacramento's the eighth seed now. So I guess that bad a loss, but...
No, it still stings, but you're
it was
right.
a bad loss.
Bad loss.
You can't sugarcoat that one. I'm kidding.
So heading over to next week, heading into our next, we've already talked about it. We've got three games, should win all three of them, or four games, I think you said. But let's take a look now at some of the reason for the Jazz's, success. You and I were talking, texting right before we got on the show. Talking about titles for this show. So if you're listening, folks, we went with Darth Gobert for a reason. John, why don't you tell everybody what your thoughts are on Darth Rudy Gobert?
Rudy is a monster on defense, and he's also having his best year in offense. It warms my heart that he got his big contract, and he is still working 100% at everything. He's on pace to be an all-star. He could get one of those big man all-star slots. But he might get edged out by Hayward, and they don't want to put two Jazz guys in there, or they both could be eliminated because the West just has so many good players. But Gobert's defense is undeniable right now.
So look at the West bigs for a minute. Who's he up against in the West? You've got. Let's start with. I mean, we'll go with the obvious. We've got. I just lost my train of thought. You've got DeMarcus Cousins.
DeMarcus Cousins.
That's what I'm questioning. Does he?
No, I thought we were going through all the big men.
No, I'm just going through the potential big men he's up against for a spot in the All-Star game.
DeMarcus Cousins. Yes.
Okay.
Mark Gasol. Probably played enough games that he'll be considered.
Yes.
You just got to look at your forwards. So Kevin Durant, Draymond Green probably looks good. DeAndre Jordan, they might. give it two. Kawhi Leonard's going to get at least one, and who knows, they might reward LaMarcus Aldridge too.
Do they reward Karl Anthony Towns?
I don't think so. And I'll say that just because Minnesota is so bad that they might wait another year, because it's not like he's thoroughly outplaying everyone. He's really good, and then Wiggins is having his best year so far, and some of their other guys are slowly improving, but still not good enough. They're 10-22 right now. I think he has to have another year of dominating before they let him in, even though he is playing really well. I mean, he's 22 points a game, 11 rebounds a game, all that stuff. Like his offense, but I don't know.
Let me ask you this. Who is the fan favorites for you? Who's the starting five in the All-Star game? The fan favorites.
Do they just do big man or do they do center? I can't remember.
That's what I'm trying to. I don't remember if they do just big man or do center.
I think it's big men.
Okay.
Is the NBA vote thing up yet for All-Star games? For All-Star teams?
Yes, it is. Should be.
Okay. Well, I'll look for that while we think about it. Kevin Durant will be one. I am inclined to think Kawhi Leonard will be one. You know, maybe the small market hurts him, but San Antonio has a lot of international fans, so he could still start. Trying to think. I mean, Blake Griffin's out, so maybe they give it to DeAndre Jordan, but I don't know how many fans really like DeAndre Jordan. I can't see the All-Star vote thing anyway. I really hate the NBA site this year.
I know. I'm bringing it up right now, and let's see what we've got here. If you check how to vote, let me check how to vote here.
Oh, there we go. NBA All-Stars.
It didn't come up. I mean, the site came up for me, but it's not telling me what the positions are you're voting
for.
Okay,
they're doing front court and back court. Front court and guard,
okay,
that's what they're doing.
Okay.
Let me filter this so I can get.
If you're going front court and guard, then I have to think Steph Curry and I think Steph Curry and James Harden might be your back court or your guards. Or Westbrook. It's got to be one of those three, if not all three. Wow, I don't know.
There.
Yeah, man. I can't
think
of
your
who
guards,
the option.
Your guards, I would think, would be Westbrook and Harden. I think Chris Paul's going to be third in guards in the West.
You don't even think Curry gets in that mix?
Above Westbrook and Harden? No, I don't.
You don't think he garners enough votes to get ahead of the two of them? Yeah, okay. He's
going
to get on the
Durant
team.
Will get in. Yeah, I think Durant will get more votes than Curry. And I think, you know, I'm looking at the front court right now, so let me think about the guards in a minute.
Okay.
I'm gonna say Durant and Leonard for the two. LaMarcus Aldridge's numbers aren't very good. Never mind on him. You know,
Mark Gasol.
Yeah, who would be the third guy? Yeah, it'd probably be Mark Gasol, but Memphis is not a city that inspires a lot of All-Star voting. So I'm gonna say maybe not. Maybe just the marquee of Anthony Davis gets that third big man spot.
Maybe so. If not, you'd have to think Gobert's chances are pretty good considering the competition at the big spot.
Yeah, but when you think about fan voting, is it still 100% fan voting or is it half and half?
I believe it's 100% fan voting for the starters.
Yeah, Utah's not big enough. Unless France has this really huge campaign. I don't see Rudy starting.
Go France.
Yeah, go France.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's
yeah,
really why
I
wanted
to. Yeah, I think that's who.
Okay, then. So, and that's why I wanted to look closely, is to see just how much of a chance. And you're right, market size will dictate a lot of it, and popularity around the NBA will dictate a lot of it. So you have to think that just because of the unknowns, Gordon Hayward and Rudy Gobert are going to have to rely on the coach's decision to bring him on the team. And I'd have to believe that Steve Kerr, and I'm pretty sure Steve Kerr is going to be the coach of the West, I'd have to believe uh-huh. that he'd want to bring on either Rudy or Gordon, although I think that Rudy would have a better chance because Gordon plays the same position as a few other guys he'd bring on, like Klay Thompson, like, you know, other folks that are on that list that maybe just Gordon isn't going to fit that mold for him. I don't know.
Yeah, Durant and Leonard are both small forwards. There's your two big ones right there. Am I forgetting someone? Is there another small forward who would be above Hayward? Am I forgetting someone obvious in the West?
You have Memphis,
Golden
Houston,
State, San Antonio, not Houston, not
nobody,
the Clippers,
nobody in Dallas,
not the Thunder. Maybe
Denver. No. What about Portland? There's nobody in Portland I can think of on
no,
that team.
No, I think it's Aminu. That's not gonna do anything.
Yeah. No, you might. That might be it. That might, Gordon could get on by virtue of
Gordon
that might be the only
because he's the third best small forward.
Yeah.
Unless I'm really forgetting someone. I can't. Nothing's coming to my head.
Andre Iguodala? I don't know. I mean, I'm just throwing names out there, but Andre is a bench. I just don't see
if Kerr put Andre in, that would
be an uproar.
That would be. Yeah, that wouldn't be right.
Right.
Still playing good, but come on.
So the chances for Rudy and Gordon really aren't all that bad off. I mean, you could see both of them on simply because Kerr doesn't have many other options at the small forward. And if you're a coach, why wouldn't you want to put Rudy on your team? That's the question I'd ask anybody out there, really.
Actually have someone trying on defense in the All-Star game.
Right? Not to mention
a
guy you can lob the ball to anytime you want.
Yeah. Yeah, now that his offense is there. And I'll never forget Andre Kirilenko in the rookie game when he was the only one remotely playing defense. And so Mike Fratello just played him the entire second half because at least someone was playing defense. And so Andre had this awesome game.
And I'm sorry, defense or not, how exciting would it be to see Rudy just monster block somebody trying to go in? I still think that could make a highlight reel of the All-Star game alone. And it's never been done. How many blocks do we really watch in the All-Star game? We just don't see them. So it might be kind of fun to add that element. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, Rudy's been a monster. He really has all around, and his numbers are showing it. And that's a reason why the Jazz continue to remain head above water. And once they're healthy, I have to believe they're going to go on a run, and they're going to go on a big run. You know, we talked about this about a month ago, not even a month ago, where we said the great teams can reel off 8, 9, 10 wins in a row. I'd have to believe the Jazz are on the verge. There's got to be an opportunity. I thought this month was their good opportunity for that, and it didn't happen. I got to believe that there's a stretch where they're going to reel some off like that.
Yeah, I think they'll win 3 in a row, and the health of their team gives them a good shot against Boston. And I may just refollow Ben Simmons for when they play Boston just to watch him melt down and then unfollow him again. I think that would be probably quite entertaining.
That would be great. You know what will happen when they'll start playing each other, too, is all of a sudden the rumors of Gordon Hayward to Boston are going to resurface again, too.
Oh, yeah. Gordon Hayward traded to Boston for a lottery-protected pick. You know, Simmons-level rumors.
Exactly. So, okay. Well, that should cover it. We have any other NBA news that we want to go over?
One we have not had a chance to talk about since last time. Let's go over a couple injuries that have happened, and then I'll get to the next one on the list.
Okay.
Blake Griffin is going to be out for several weeks.
Yes.
Jazz do not play the Clippers anytime soon, so he'll probably be back by the time the Jazz play him. But that puts the Clippers in a precarious position for their playoff spot. They've lost 4 in a row already. They now have 12 losses, so they already have only one less loss than the Jazz right now.
Right.
So they are hurting, and this is an opportunity for the Jazz to get hot and jump up. Thunder's won four in a row, but you know, if the Jazz can get hot as well and the Thunder run into some difficulty, you could see the Jazz in the fourth spot in like a week and a half.
So yeah.
There's a lot to be excited about.
That's surprising for the Clippers, because if you go last year, they went a stretch without Blake Griffin and were crazy good. They maintained, they won, they stayed right up there where they needed to until Blake came back. And some would argue they were better with Blake off the floor. I think it's silly to believe that long term, but I think it's surprising that they've dropped four in a row without him.
Well, they lost a home game to Dallas and a home game to Denver. They lost on the road against the Lakers. Well, you know, Lakers, Clippers. And then tonight it's final. They just lost to the Pelicans. So they're not in good shape.
Okay, that one hurts. That one hurts badly.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to lose to Sacramento. It's another thing to lose to the Pelicans. You know, that's tough. So, yeah, no, you're right. And here's the other thing is we've been talking, can Oklahoma City maintain? And I still don't know if they can. I think they're going to falter. But to have the Clippers falter, you're right. It's prime opportunity for the Jazz. The Jazz have to take this opportunity and do something with it. And we're not just talking about winning three or four in a row. You got to win the games you're supposed to, but reeling off six, seven, eight in a row would be really, really ideal right now.
Yeah, and to be fair to the Clippers, I forgot J.J. Redick is out too. So they are missing Blake Griffin and J.J. Redick. And Paul. Well, there you go.
Who is?
Chris Paul. It says he missed three games. How did I miss that? I don't know. But yeah, Chris Paul's been out too.
That I will put their woes on that more than I will on Griffin, because I think Chris Paul is much more valuable to that team's success right now than Blake Griffin is.
Yep. Okay, so, that explains a few things.
Now, what's the other injuries we're going to get to?
Festus Ezeli is out for the year. He's not playing a single game for Portland, so it was an unfortunate signing by them. But the cavalry is not coming in that one.
And Portland's in bad shape. Portland's in real bad shape.
They're like 10th, I think, in the standings now. They're just falling off the map.
And they flip-flop. This is where we thought they'd be last year. They overachieved. And here this year, we decided in our preseason to give them props and say, hey, they're going to be right there. And, well, they're proving us wrong yet again.
Well, you've got six teams in the West that already have 20 or more losses. So, you know, the eighth seed is going to be a battle for anyone from the Kings. I mean, Kings and the Nuggets have position right now. Maybe Blazers get something figured out soon. They've lost six in a row. Nuggets have won two in a row. Kings have won four in a row. So that explains their position right now. But I would say that the top seven of the West is locked. And now it's just a matter of curiosity as to who's going to get that eighth seed.
No, that's fair. And rest assured, folks, if you're hearing what John just said, the Jazz do fit into the top seven. I think they're locked for the playoffs. And I think it's safe to assume that, safe to rest your laurels on that. They're going to make the playoffs. It's a matter of where.
I will say Portland is ahead in their game against the Kings right now. We'll see if...
No, that's a good one. That's a game swing right there. So, all right. Well, there we have it. Injury report, status report in the West. That's good. What else do we want to cover?
Well, we haven't had a chance to talk about Craig Sager. Craig Sager passed away after our last recording. And, you know, it was one of those where I thought he was going to beat it. I thought his story would mirror Ernie Johnson. And it didn't. Third time wasn't the charm, and it was sad to see Craig go, and it was a big loss for the NBA.
Yeah, it was. I've been a fan, an avid fan of Craig Sager over the years. Truly one of my favorites, one of my favorite staples for TNT and for the NBA as a whole. So this was a tough one. I really enjoyed the due that all of the NBA gave on the night of his passing, you know, especially the Jazz. I was at the game. The Jazz wore Sager t-shirts. Loved it. I thought it was great. But yeah, my heart and well wishes go out to his family. I've interacted with his daughter Casey over Twitter. She's a great gal. The rest of his family, they're all wonderful, and so our hearts and thoughts go out to him. So you know, what more can you say about Craig? Just a staple, just an amazing guy.
Yep. Let's go ahead to listener questions.
All right. And what do we got?
This ties into something that we were talking about earlier, but I like the way he's framed this. He's assuming the guards are going to be Chris Paul, Westbrook, Harden, and Curry. So that's four guard spots. And the big men, he's saying Cousins, AD, Kawhi, Durant, take four of the six forward spots. And then two of Griffin, Jordan, Hayward, Gobert, Green, Aldridge, Towns, and Gasol snag the other two. So, wild card spots. You're looking at Klay Thompson, CJ McCollum, George Hill. We can probably cross off. He's missed too many games. Mike Conley. Is he back yet? I think he's back.
He is, but I think he's missed too many games to be considered, too. I'm not sure Mike Conley is really a solid pick on my list.
I'll look at Mike Conley first.
I'm curious.
Mike Conley,
I know
he's played 23 games. He's scoring 18 and 5. That's
okay.
Pretty decent.
That is pretty decent. How many games did you say he played?
23 okay. Out of 34, so he's missed 11 games. Okay, back to the question.
Right.
Klay Thompson, CJ McCollum, George Hill, Mike Conley, and of Griffin, Jordan, Hayward, Gobert, Green, Aldridge, Towns, Gasol be fighting for the last two wild card spots. You can probably safely cross off Hill, Conley, and Griffin, and almost always someone misses the game. So let's say the five picks go to Lillard, Clay, McCollum. Lillard and McCollum when they're losing this bad. I don't know about that. DeAndre Jordan, Gordon Hayward, Rudy Gobert, Draymond Green, LaMarcus Aldridge, Karl Anthony Towns, Mark Gasol with two of them automatically. Does Lillard get an all-star spot even if the Blazers keep struggling? The All-Star game is partial to guys who have made the All-Star game before. And I know there have been some years where it just seemed like robbery that Lillard hadn't made it, but is he still never been? No, he's been to the All-Star game. He's been a two-time All-Star. They tend to be biased towards players who've made it to let them keep going. I think Lillard's having a good enough season, 27.6 assists, that he would still get high consideration because he's still, what is he, the fifth best point guard in the West? Maybe that's a cutoff,
yeah.
Though. Maybe that's a cutoff. With Westbrook, Harden, Chris Paul, and Steph Curry, maybe they cut off at four point guards.
In the end, I think it comes down to the decision by the coach. And you're right. In the past, they've always honored players who have made the All-Star game and to continue to keep them on. But with the way the West is stacked now and with teams like the Jazz having the kind of year that they are versus the Blazers, I almost have to think that Steve Kerr takes notice of other players and maybe Lillard gets left off this year. Maybe. Because didn't he?
Maybe.
I know you said he went in two, but didn't he get left off last year? I could have sworn he did.
Yeah, he went year two and year three, and he was left off year four, even though four was his career best year. And this year is a career best year on top of that. So he made the playoffs when he was averaging 20 and 5. Now he's averaging 27 and 6. You know, the only reason he would be left off is because the West is just so good.
Well, and he followed up his question to somebody else talking, and this is our guess for by the way, for listeners, said, personally, I think Hayward Rudy will get snubbed. On those last four spots, will go to Clay, Dre, Lillard, and Gasol. And I think that's palpable. But I still think, in a year like this year, I still think the chances are pretty high for either Hayward or Rudy or both. still wonder if Lillard makes the team. And that's no discredit to Lillard. I love his game, and I think he's great, and I think he deserves the nod. I just wonder how much of what's going on with Portland hurts him. That's what I'm wondering.
You know what I think will get Hayward or Gobert in the All-Star game is if the Jazz are the fourth seed. I think if they're any lower, once then they both get snubbed. But if they are at least the fourth seed, you got to have someone represent.
Well, now take us to the next question, because I think that next question fits right in with what you just said.
What's the next question? Who gets snubbed?
Yeah, no, from Braden. Canadian Braden.
Oh, Braden. I predicted a sixth seed for this Jazz team. Am I a genius? No, but you have two eyes and you pay attention. So you're above average intelligence at least.
You know, he's...
He wouldn't be picked last in a Trivial Pursuit team game.
No, he's been at me for a couple of... It was a week or two back, and I got to give Braden some love because I appreciate him. And you know what? He's been on past podcasts with Utah Sportsnet with you and me before. He's a hoot. He gave me a hard time a couple weeks back because I was talking about our predictions for the Jazz. And I said something about predicting 51 wins and the fourth seed. And I says, things aren't looking so good for him right now. Or I said something like that. He responded and he says, that's why you and Germ shouldn't be picking. That's why I should be on the show and come on and tell you guys the way it should be. So a little love for Braden out there. Braden, we do love you.
You know what kind of deadly year 2016 has been? I see Bill Walton trending, and my first thought is, my gosh, did Bill Walton die too? But no. He's trending because of his commentary.
Okay, so let's, if we're done with our listener questions, I think we just had the two, right?
Yeah.
Let's transition to, you know, you brought up Craig Sager. This show is going to have some, we're going to remember the dead on this show because it has been a tough year. The year started out with guys like David Bowie, Glenn Frey, Prince. We're finishing off bookends with some big names as well. Since our last show, we've seen Carrie Fisher go down with a heart attack and pass away yesterday. We saw George Michael over the weekend pass away on Christmas Day, if you will. Then we saw Carrie Fisher's mother, Debbie Reynolds, pass away just hours ago before we recorded this. It's what a way to end the year. And we talked about Craig Sager. I just want to take a minute, if all else fails, just to remember these wonderful people and the talents and things that they contributed to us and offered to us over the years.
Yeah, I can't remember a weirder year for deaths than this one. I'm sure it's happened, but
yeah,
you know, it's been one deadly year in 2016. Can't end fast enough.
Right. No, and I'll, you know, again, that's why I started the intro of tonight's show with Princess Leia's theme, because Carrie Fisher being one of the bigger names on that list, you know, to end the year, you know, obviously for me and for you, our love for Star Wars, but personal ties there, you know, Princess Leia, she fought mental illness in real life. She fought the drug addictions and problems, the ghosts of her father, if you will, and really prevailed against all of them and stood them in the face, gave him the middle finger and everything, and continued to fight and do the things that she did. She was great with Star Wars over the years. She's had plenty of other roles, and most recently had written a book and was on that book tour when she met her demise at the end. And then what's so rough on that family is to have Debbie Reynolds, who is a generational actress. She's been all through the generations acting on so many different levels, so many people. My kids, my young children know who she is because of movies that she's been in recently that my kids have watched. Another great loss, huge loss in Hollywood. And then, like I said, back to George Michael. I mean, that's a guy we all grew up with on music. You know, Wham to his own personal career.
Yeah. Tough. Yeah, my wife said she had a poster of George Michael on her wall when she was, I don't know, 11, 12, I don't know. So he was a big one.
Yeah, these are people that have come to mean something to us. I mean, if you will.
I will.
Okay.
Okay, let's cut to movie reviews. And let's talk about the one we've both seen.
Yep. Rogue One. What did you think?
I mean, I saw it twice.
Okay.
Seeing it the second time made me recognize just how choppy the first half is, just jumping around. I could still follow it all, but it was kind of choppy and inelegant. And when you watch the second time, because I watched the trailer again, when you watch the second time, you realize how little of that first big trailer is in the movie. You know, Ira Bell is not in there. Saw's monologue about what will you become is not in there. That beach, that final cool beach shot isn't on there.
Right.
So it's clear it had a lot of reshoots, but it all worked because while a lot of action movies, especially lately, the third act is where it all falls apart to be this giant CGI battle explosion thingy. And for Rogue One, it was its strength. That last like 30, 40 minutes is just constant action. You know where everyone is at all times. You know what everyone needs to accomplish. You know where they are in the chronology of what needs to happen. You can follow it all, and there's nothing dull about it because each character is having their moment and they're having full arcs, and it's great. I would say it puts Rogue One finishes above Force Awakens for me. Just, and it has an advantage because it's a one-off. It's not, it doesn't do all these things at the end to open it up for a sequel because, you know, on the note it ends on. But I was very satisfied with it.
I was satisfied too. I'm not quite ready to put it above Force Awakens for me. I enjoyed it. I was thoroughly entertained. I agree with some of your reviews on this movie as well. I felt like the first act did jump around a bit. The first act took me a little while to settle in. And for me, and we all knew this coming in. Those avid fans knew there wasn't going to be a crawl at the beginning. So it was an abrupt beginning. And for me, it was weird. But I was able to get past that, but it was slow to start with, but that second and third act was incredible. They built up, they worked out. I mean, it fit right in. And I thought they did a decent job at developing the characters in the movie. You know, we had our reaction show on Idiots Array podcast the other day. So, you know, if anybody wants to go out and listen to me and my co-host on Idiots Array bumble over our reactions to it, we talked about it in depth as well, but it's not my favorite movie. I don't know if it's even in my top three, but it is definitely one that I enjoyed a lot. I have seen it twice. Will I go and see it again? Yes. Will I watch it over and over again once I have it? Yes. I felt like it enhanced the experience of A New Hope very much. The music I've listened to over a dozen times. The soundtrack is brilliant. Michael Giacchino did a fantastic job on it. There are some, if I had some complaints, they're minute. You know, I had some complaints about the mannerism in the way that Vader walked. But that's a silly, silly problem I had. His gait was just off for me. But overall, I loved it. And the final scene, you couldn't get any better than that. You know, Vader destroying the rebels, killing guys left and right.
That is the scariest Vader has ever been. That was so perfect.
Yeah. And for me, it did two things for me. And it was interesting. I was talking with somebody else about this. It did two things for me. Immediately upon seeing it, it reminded me, and I've said this so much, it reminded me of the Anakin's slaughter of the Separatists on Mustafar when he became Vader. But it reminded me also, if you go and watch A New Hope right away, you see just why everybody was so afraid of Vader to begin. I mean, it enhances that opening scene of A New Hope so much. Everybody's standing there tentative with their guns raised and ready to shoot because they know what's coming through that door.
Yeah.
So it was good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a great appetizer for me leading to next year's episode eight, excuse me.
Yep. And I don't know what they're going to do, but what?
Yeah.
I'm still here.
I was just going to say, you got two thumbs up from me and John as far as Rogue One goes.
Yep. We each saw other different movies since we last recorded, so why don't you talk about yours first?
Well, I went and saw the new movie out this weekend, Assassin's Creed, on Monday. I was not impressed, not at all. I took my 10-year-old son. I felt like it was extremely violent for a PG-13. Was uncomfortable with my son watching it, who, by the way, just loved it. But there was so many things wrong with it. It had so much potential, and it just was wrong in so many ways. From the storyline, it was a weak plot, weak synopsis, and on to I could go. The list goes on. It was not very good. And then we saw Passengers last night as a family. Slow movie, but there's quite a few moral dilemmas in it that I found very interesting. You know, you ever have that discussion of, if you were the last man on Earth, what would you do? Or the last man on an island with somebody else, what would you do? Those types of questions are asked in Passengers. And I liked the way they played it out.
Oh, good. Both of those were getting negative reviews, so I have not really wanted to see either of them. Maybe I'll take a chance on one of them. Maybe Passengers.
Yeah, I would say take your chance on Passengers, not Assassin's Creed. Don't go see it, John. You won't like it.
Okay. and bad video game movies trend continues.
Yeah.
Okay, I saw La La Land. It's going to be nominated for all the awards when the Oscars are announced. The Golden Globes are in a week and a half, so those winners will be announced, and then a few days later they announce Oscar nominations. I bet you see this up for Best Picture, Best Director, Best Script. Gosling and Stone probably will both get nominated. It's just a blast. There've been movie musicals lately, almost all of them based on Broadway shows, and most of them haven't been that great. I kind of liked Les Mis, but you really have to be patient with it. You know, Into the Woods was fine. This is an original, and it just feels like a movie made the way they used to make it. It's really just magical. Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone have great chemistry. The ending is perfect. I thought it was great. And then the
That's
other
good.
One I yeah, yeah, go see it. The other one I saw was Jackie, which stars Natalie Portman as Jackie Kennedy. And the main strength of the movie is Portman as Jackie Kennedy. I would have no problem with her winning her second Oscar for this movie. She is really good. It's not as plot heavy as your average biopic. Most of it takes place over a week. It takes place from like the immediate assassination to her planning her funeral, to his funeral, to LBJ getting sworn in and her having to prepare to move out of the White House. And it kind of puts you in her shoes on what that would feel like. On one minute, you're first lady, and the next minute your husband is dead and the life that you'd been living for the past 3 years has just changed forever. So it was well done. I thought the music was a little intrusive, and the movie was really more about capturing a mood and a feeling rather than telling this powerful story. It just wanted you to feel this powerful experience, and that's fine. I liked it. But it's one I don't think everyone will like, but I liked it.
When you say intrusive, what did you mean by that with the music?
The music kept reminding me it was there. Instead of enhancing the scene, it was like, I am the music, don't forget about me. And you're like, just sometimes scenes work better with natural, soft background music. You don't have to constantly. I'll say this. The music was such that there was 18 or 19 times I felt like they could probably end the movie here because it feels like the music is building to a final shot. And, you know, we're only 45 minutes in, so it's obviously not going to end, but the music does that over and over again.
Okay. That's good. That's good to know. I'm not sure I'll see Jackie. Not on my watch list to go see. Like I said, my wife wants very much to see, my wife and my kids want very much to see La La Land. So and I'm hearing everything about it is good, and
yeah.
That's, you know, talking to you about it. Yeah, that's what we're going to go see eventually. So what a packed week for movies for us to talk about, right?
Yeah.
So trying to think if we're missing anything else. Devin, we miss you this week. So Devin wasn't able to join us, which is why the recording may not be what it usually is. So hopefully it's good for those of you listening. So Devin, we missed you this week. We'll look for you next week. Am I forgetting anything?
I don't think so. And we're over 45 minutes, so it'd be good to go ahead and tie it up.
Okay. Well, let's do that. All right. So, thank you for joining us for another episode of Jedi and Germs. You can find us on Facebook and on Twitter, Jedi and Germs. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and, of course, right here on blogtalkradio.com, Jedi and Germs. Leave us a review on iTunes. I know we keep requesting that, but, folks, we would appreciate it. Be honest. You know, if you like us, let us know. We prefer for you to leave us a review. It helps us, and we love the feedback. Also, continue to send us your tweets, your messages on things that you like, things you want us to talk about. And we'll look for you again next time on Jedi and Germs. John, take us out.
Just a reminder, next week's show, I will be giving my best and worst movies of the year. So,
bye, everybody!